Hello, everyone, and welcome to Signals from the Deep, the official podcast of your Seattle Kraken. Thank you very much for receiving our transmission here. Piper Shaw with you, as always, joined by my very splendid and unique co-host, JT Brown.
Thank you for that intro.
I'm like, what's a unique way to describe JT?
That was perfect.
Splendid and unique.
I enjoyed that.
And of course, our producer, Drew. Drew, how are we?
We are great today, coming off a win.
Yeah.
So we're stoked.
Yeah. We have lots to discuss. So we're going to just kind of try to crank through a lot of this because we have so many awesome things, particularly a lot of milestones and some big announcements. So we're going to start with the Olympics. Of course, it was announced before the season began that Philipp Grubauer would be playing for Team Germany in the Olympics, barring anything crazy happening. And it's great to see how excellently he's been playing as well. So he'll be playing alongside the likes of Leon Draisaitl, Mo Sider. So Germany not always like in the conversation for assumed meddling, but they got a pretty good team. So,
team can't take lightly.
Yes, definitely. Another team that you cannot take lightly, Finland and the Kraken's two Finnish forwards were also named to Team Finland, Kaapo Kakko and Elli Tolvanen. This will be the first time that Kaapo Kakko has ever played in the Olympics, but he, of course, did play for Finland in Four Nations last year. Elli Tolvanen played in the Olympics in 2016. That's the right date, right? 2016 was Pyeongchang. I'm like, what are four-year gaps? Yes. And he actually was named to the All-Star team, too, and he was like 18 years old. So he's pretty excited to go back, and he was joking that hopefully him and Kaapo are not roommates again. He's like, he's with me everywhere. So, and then also Oscar Fisker-Mulgaard, who y'all may remember, played a couple of Kraken games, a very exciting prospect. He's down with Coachella Valley right now, but he was named to Team Denmark as well. So stick taps to our Kraken's, the biggest stage in sports. That's exciting.
I mean, no, it's a huge opportunity. And anytime you get to wear your country's colors, you get to wear them with pride. So it's a huge honor for those guys. And no, it's going to be awesome for the fans to be able to tune into the Olympics and also be able to watch some Kraken players as well. So awesome for them and awesome for the fans too.
Yeah. When at the time that we are recording this, the game against Boston in Seattle was recently, and I was thinking about how Worlds over the summer, Team USA won Worlds, and that goalie tandem was Jeremy Swayman and Joey Decord. And you know who won the goalie battle against in that one? Joey Decord. And I was like, hopefully that feels like a little feather in his cap, because I was feeling smug on his behalf on that. So
I'm sure anytime he beats Boston, or you know, getting to play against Boston is special for Joey too.
Yeah,
to get the win even more so.
Well, and the Kraken put up 7 on Swayman, so you know, well, technically 6 because empty net in there. But all right, we have so many milestones to get through here. It feels awesome to have so many in such a short span here. So we got to start against Vancouver. In Vancouver, Cale Fleury scored his first goal as a member of the Kraken. It was his first goal since 2019. And that was just so awesome to see. We've been joking that it's like, who is more excited for Cale? Cale or Jared McCann?
Yeah.
Jared McCann, absolutely. And even Vince Dunn was really hyped up about it too. So just really special to see what he's just done for this team and the role that he's played, and to finally kind of get some more responsibility and trust.
Yeah, he's been playing really well. Obviously, he missed the 26 games in a row, and, you know, you look at the roster constraints and where players are at, and he had the extra 2 defensemen, just wasn't getting into those games. So when Montour went down, he had to step in a big way, going into a top-4 role.
Power play.
And you look at the body of work and the minutes that he was putting out there. He's been playing excellent hockey, and that's not easy to do when you have that long of a layoff from game action. So to see him do that, to see him be able to find that success, not only just with his play on the ice, but to get that first goal as a Kraken. And I know it's since 2019, but to be fair to Cale in that instance, you know, he spent a lot of that time in the American Hockey League, where he has been an excellent defenseman down there with the Coachella as well, to get that opportunity to come up here, show that he can play at that level. You know, it's obviously great for him, but again, you see that first goal, and again, like you said, it was almost more exciting for the other guys, yeah, you know, than for him. But just goes to show the work that he's put in to go and step up when the team needed him. Defensively, playing sound, paired up with Ryan Lindgren, in that opportunity, and it was an excellent shot. I mean, he got a lot on that slap shot.
Yeah, that was a bomb.
So at the end of the day, again, we've talked about it time and time again. Players need to step up, especially when it comes to the injury bug that's been going around almost every team per se throughout the entire National Hockey League. So kudos to him, and it just goes to show how hard he's been working to stay ready when his number's called.
And when he came into the lineup first, I think it was first in kind of the stretcher. It was against LA just before the break. And it was first period. They were already on the power play. And it wasn't his goal, obviously, but they scored. They converted right there with him quarterback in the power play, which he hasn't been doing now because obviously Vince is back. He wasn't available for that game. But after that one, I asked Lane just kind of what he thought about Cale. And I liked that he was like, it was really nice to get to see him play and play in these different roles to get to see more of what kind of player he is and to learn a little bit more about him. And then I loved that after Cale scored against Vancouver, he said, well, coach has been telling me to keep playing with confidence. So I thought it would be kind of rude not to.
And you can see it. You can see the confidence that he's playing with. I mean, obviously he's an excellent skater. But then you throw in the physical play that he goes through, obviously great in front of the net battles. His battle level and compete level has been very high, so it's been fun to watch him.
Yes, so keep it up, Cale. We love to see it. All right, more milestones to get through here. We had a lot in Calgary. First of all, it was the captain, Jordan Eberle's 1,100th game in the NHL, which is crazy because, for one, I feel like we just did his Silver Stick ceremony 2 days ago, but nope, that was 100 games ago. And at the time, he had a nice little point streak going. He is off to, I'd have to double check this at the time of release now, but at the time going into the Calgary game, he was off to the second best scoring start of his career, which Jared joked. He's like, yeah, that's really impressive for an old man his age, which is hilarious. So stick taps to Jordan for that. And Lane also said I think it was Jared. He said that he's like, Jordan just looks faster too, like faster than ever, which coming back from that injury and stuff, like it's just cool to see. So Adam Larson also had his 250th point in the NHL, naturally an assist to who else but
Vince Dunn.
Correct. But the biggest milestone, I think undeniably, of that game in Calgary was the first NHL goal of Jacob Melanson, who's just been electric to watch.
I feel like, he's becoming a lot of fans' favorite player to watch out on the ice just by the sheer passion he plays with the hustle, obviously the physical play that he's been going, but they've also been contributing. The offensive side of the game for not only him, but the fourth line as well has been fantastic. You can really see them starting to gel together. And we saw him get his first point, which we knew that was coming just based on the quality and the chances that he was getting. But to be able to score that first NHL goal, huge moment, especially the Kraken needed it at that time. I remember the first period of the Calgary game, maybe not their best, taking a while to kind of get the legs going, and you needed somebody. And right now it's been a lot of Melanson and the rest of that line who's been providing that spark for the Kraken, and that was a huge goal when you go to make the game 1-1 in that moment. But again, anytime you get that first goal, it's something special, and you'll take that puck and you'll want that one for the rest of your life. That'll be a nice little milestone moment that, one day you get to show everybody.
Well, speaking of taking that puck, when he had his first NHL point puck, he told Everett Fitzhugh on radio, allegedly, I didn't hear this interview, this is what Fitz told us, but he said that he was probably going to give the first NHL point puck to his dog, Bunker. So then I asked him after the first NHL goal, I was like, is this puck any safer, or are you just gonna toss this one to Bunker too? He's like, no, I'm pretty sure that we're gonna put this one in a nice display case, but Bunker's very determined and may get at it, and he's in it, and if he does, then it's his and that he deserves it. And I'm like, that's almost like representative of how he plays. We keep calling them a dog on a bone, right?
That's crazy, though, to me. The first point, you're going to give it to your dog. Obviously, that's a very special dog. I love the name Bunker, by the way. I believe we talked about that as well. But I've got first game. Puck is in like a frame display. The first point, first goal. Like, all of those are up in my office on the wall, like special mementos. There's absolutely no way I'd be giving that to a dog. So, obviously, Bunker, very, very special dog.
Yeah, he said Bunker deserves it more than anyone. So I was like, oh, okay. He also could have been kidding when he told Fitz. Like, who knows? But it was pretty funny. And when he came out for that post-game interview, too, in Calgary, he had this huge gash on his nose. And we just looked at each other, and we both just laughed. I'm like, what a warrior. And yeah. It was just such a special moment. So happy to see him kind of get rewarded and just really thrive at this level, because – you know, I've known him since the first day he got here years ago. And so it's just really cool to like see him, you know, kind of come alive at this level. And also, speaking of the fourth line, Ben Myers has just been awesome. He made an excellent, excellent pass over to Shane Wright in Calgary. Shane Wright's first goal in 8 games. It was since December 16th. And it was also on Shane's 22nd birthday. I love that the Kraken social team said something like, it was like, happy birthday, Shane. I got you this sick pass. Ben Myers, probably.
It was a nice goal of time they needed. You know, you go through little slumps like that, but obviously for Shane Wright, trying to continually focus on the full 200-foot game, being responsible in that asset, but knowing that he has a great shot. Obviously, it was more of a deflection, just pushing the puck forward as he's crashing towards the net. But, again, anytime you find the back of the net, you keep that confidence going. And, you know, for Shane, looking at this year, going to, you know, different situations that he's being put in, obviously being able to score, you know, it feels good.
It's also funny because, like, that was Shane's 22nd birthday. I think sometimes when players come up and they come right to the NHL, we might forget how young some of these guys truly are. Like, he just turned 22. And it was funny, I was asking him a little bit about his birthday in general. I was like, what was the highlight of 21? And he's like, I think it was just like learning how to be an adult fully on my own. That's what he said. He's just like just learning how to cook.
That's fair, though.
He's just like, it was definitely a year of growth just like as a person. That's what he said. I was like, you didn't go on any like trips or any big concerts? And he was like, no, but I learned like how to cook more things. I'm like, respect, Shane, respect. Because if there's one thing about Shane Wright, it's that he loves hockey more, more than anything. But I also asked him if his number being 51 had anything to do with his birthday being 1-5, and if like he picked 51 because he thought it was more unique than 15 or something than that, or something like that. And he said he was just always on youth teams growing up that only allowed them to be like 1 through 17 or something like that. And so he was always like 8 or 9 or just like a lower number. But then they played in one tournament where for one time they could be whatever number they wanted. And he went to his dad and he's like, what should I pick? I could pick anything I want, like no rules. And his dad suggested, well, you're born on the 5th day of the first month, so what about 51? And they felt like it was a little bit more unique than like 1-5 and whatever. And so that is why Shane is 51. It is because of his birthday, the 5th day of the first month. So anyway, happy birthday, Shane. Ben Myers got you that sick pass. All right, the next night though, second night of a back-to-back, here we go. Another huge milestone moment because Berkeley Catton in his rookie season not only scores his first NHL goal, but also his second against the Boston Bruins and rocking his new number, 27. What did you think about the game, the growing confidence of one Berkeley Catton?
Well, you could see, you talk about the confidence, you could see it within his game. He'd probably give it the last 10 games or so, really seeing a difference in how direct he was playing, shooting the puck more, not necessarily looking for a passing option, trying to make an extra play to defer to somebody else. Like, you can see it growing within him, a lot of the plays getting into the inside of the ice, and it was going to come. He had a couple of like really big, I remember it was the Nashville game where he stole the puck from Saros, who was behind the net, and Saros had to like dive back to make the save. Just like opportunities like that he was getting where it's like, man, like it's going to come eventually, this has to happen. And he kept with it. He didn't shy away. The confidence has been there, especially you watch him with the puck. You see he's got all the skill in the world. And even looking to the first goal, I mean, Swayman's going to want that one back. It ended up going off his blocker. But from an off position, continuing to just shoot the puck, getting pucks towards the net, putting himself into the positions, you know, even for that one to receive the pass from McCann and throwing it towards the net. So to be able to get the first goal kind of gives you a sigh of relief, you know, for Berkeley, who had not scored, which probably the longest time of his career not ever scoring a goal. You know, obviously being, you know, you elite. Go through your youth ranks, going through your junior ranks as well, being one of the best players, and you get to the National Hockey League and all of a sudden it's just not going in for you. To see the confidence stay there in a young player, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to him for sticking with it and to staying and knowing what makes him a good hockey player. But also the coaching staff as well, to keep putting him in positions to try to succeed, right? He hasn't been going down when it comes to the lineup. He's still been playing in these tough positions. He's getting out on the power play as well. Even though the puck hasn't been going in for him, you still see the confidence that the coaching staff has put into him. And I think as a player, you recognize those things, and that helps you continue to play. But I think you really got to see the skill of what Berkeley can do on that second goal. On the power play, one of the things you love to watch him do is dance through the neutral zone after the drop pass, and he's got the skill to weave in and out of players. He ends up doing a great kick out, takes a little, it's kind of like a sidestep jump back to the left side, down right through the middle. Gaudreau gave him a nice feed, but the backhand move and how he elevated that in a hurry just gets to show the more skilled side of Berkeley Catton as well. So I think you got to see, you know, him sticking with it. Like, that's how I'd kind of describe the first goal, just throwing pucks, getting them towards the net. You never know what's going to happen. And then the second one, the skill really took over. Thought for a second he might end up getting, you know, a third one. What a way to start when you get one, you get two. There was still plenty of time left. He had a few more chances. But, no, it's great for him. Obviously, it's been a while, and it's been a growing season, right? Obviously, we talk about Shane being 22 and still young within the league. You look at Berkeley Catton, 19, soon to be 20-year-old. He's still young. He's still learning. He's still trying to figure out what the NHL game, what the pace is like, and you're watching it in real time, right? So to see him finally be able to get that first one, get the second one as well, you hope that the floodgates are now open for him, that, you know, this is a new beginning. Maybe the new numbers was a lucky sign for him, switching from 77 back to 27. So, again, kudos to him, and obviously what a moment for him, but his family as well.
Yeah, I appreciate you pointing out, too, it's like every team that Berkeley's probably ever been on his whole life, he's been the best player, the most skilled player. So to come up here and to not be just piling on insane goals, to be able to, like, keep that confidence. And it's very fitting that for a player that felt like he was, like, so snake-bitten, like, he just could not buy a goal. He was shooting and shooting, but it was just, like, post, crossbar, like, near miss, just every time for the first one to maybe not be, like, the prettiest goal in the world, but then to have the second one be an incredible play, and it was like post crossbar in or something like that, right? Like, it was like it ricocheted, and he told me he didn't even know if it went in. He wasn't sure.
Yeah, there was a great shot on the broadcast afterwards. Like, he was just like looking, like, was it in? Like, looking around to get, because obviously I don't think he could see the refs pointing the signal, but like looking to the players on the ice, like, was that in? Was it in? Like,
and after being so snake bitten, it's probably like, oh, it's probably not in.
Well, I remember you were talking about McCann, too. That was, speaking of reactions, on the first one, I think McCann's celebration going into the pile was actually pretty funny, too. We were talking about Kale and how McCann was more excited for that goal than Kale was. But I could almost say the same thing when you look at how McCann went into that pile. Like, even Wright gave him a hug when he got up to the bench as well. Like, I feel like the entire team knew that that he hasn't scored, but how close he's been and how much of relief for everybody and how happy they were for him was awesome to see.
Yeah, and I asked Jared about exactly that, because after the Kale goal, we were like, we thought you were more happy than Kale was. He's like, maybe I am, because I just have watched Kale work and work all these years. Like, I think people forget that Kale has been on this team since as long as Jared McCann has been on this team. Like, so just to know that, like, that bond kind of behind the scenes. But then Jared, who's been playing alongside Berkeley and kind of tasked a little bit with supporting that third quote-unquote line with him and Shane there, and Jared told me after the game, he's like, I was him. I remember being Berkeley. Like, I've been in his shoes. I've been in Shane's shoes. And so I just feel for them in the highs and the lows so much. And I just think that speaks so much to part of one, why Jared McCann is a great person to help kind of shepherd them, but also two, why he's such a great teammate. So happy for all of them. And also Jared McCann has been playing incredible as well. Yeah. Buzzer beater in the Boston game too. Just awesome. So stick taps all around, so many milestones. Hopefully we're not missing any, but it just feels like every single day there's more.
Yeah, something's happening.
Yeah. So all of this, though, I think speaks really well to a larger kind of conversation and point that we've been having a lot on the broadcast. The guys have been talking about, the coaching staff has been talking about, which they say that they feel like the really big kind of difference in the team's game over the last 10 games or so has been getting contributions all throughout the lineup and in different ways, not just relying on a late goal in the third period or a huge kill, just truly everybody kind of stepping up.
Yeah, I think you're getting that depth scoring, and that's how the Kraken are going to find their success. That's how they're built as a team. I think you can go look. There's no Nathan MacKinnon. There's no Connor McDavid. There's not going to be that 100-point guy on the Kraken's roster. But when everyone's contributing, that's when you're starting to see that offense. I mean, you look at the numbers of how many times they're scoring four or more goals during this last stretch of points in eight straight games. You're seeing fourth line chipping in. You're seeing guys that are paid to score are scoring as well. You look at the McCanns. You look at the Eberle, Stevenson going on their runs.
Maddie
Kapokako starting to find his game. You know, obviously a tough season for him to begin with all the injuries, but you're starting to see everybody gel and everybody contribute at the same time. And that's really helping the team game. Obviously, can't forget about the goaltending during this stretch as well has been a huge part as to why they're playing that way and they're getting the points and getting the wins. But I think the contributions up and down the lineup is how the Kraken find their success. It's not relying on just McCann to go out and score goals or just relying on Maddie to set up these plays. You're getting it line one, line two, line three, line four. But then you're also getting chipping in from the defense pairings as well. We talked about Kale getting a goal. Dunn has scored. You got Alexiak as well. Larson chipping in when the points come through. So up and down the lineup, you're finding that success. And they're playing a simple game. They're playing something that's repeatable. And that's the hard thing to do in this game is trying to find that consistency. Now, when we talk about the streaks and the players going on, you know, whether it was Ebbs going on the six-game run, Stevenson went on eight, is that going to happen throughout the entirety of the season?
No.
You'd love for that to happen. Is the fourth line going to have, you know, five-game point streaks, four-game point streaks? It's probably not going to continue for the entire rest of the season. But the way they're playing is repeatable. The chances that they are getting is based off of hard work. They're not cheating the game to go try to get to the offensive side because they want to score. They're going with solid defense first, which leads into the offense. And I think that's where you find the success. And that's why even when they were on the run where it was 1-9-1 over those 11 games, Lane talked plenty of times to the media about, we actually like the way we're playing. The game is good. It's just not going in for us right now for whatever it may be. You know, you look at the months where they were doing awesome when it came to the points. It was before the slide. They were sitting in third in the Pacific, similar enough where they were after the last game versus Boston as well. They were playing better, or at least Lane said, during the skid than they were when they were winning.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to translate. So just keep playing that same game over time. You're going to end up winning more games than you lose, especially when you add in the goaltending, you add in the contributions. And now there may be games where not everybody's contributing, but if you keep playing the same way, play that repeatable game, that's where you find success as a team. That's where you find the chemistry as a line. You know where guys are going to go before it ever happens. So it's been fun to watch that they didn't necessarily have some magic, some huge change just because the results weren't showing up in the standings for the Kraken. They stayed with it. They kept pushing along. And now you're starting to see some of, you know, whether you say it was bad luck during the run where it was 1-9-1, now you're seeing an 8-game stretch and how quickly things can change this year. I think it was a few episodes ago where we talked about the American Thanksgiving and the percentages, and you're like, well, this year's different, where you're clearly seeing this year is completely different. I remember you're going into the Boston game, there was only 5 points separating between first in the Pacific and fifth in the Pacific. So that's not very, that's not very much.
That's when two games.
When you go through.
Well, and three.
You look at it from that standpoint, like it is a tight race. So the Kraken, again, you can only control what you can control, and that's how they play, and that's what something that I like to look at. How are they playing in each individual game? And it's been cool to watch and see all the players that are stepping up and getting rewarded for their play and consistency within that play.
Well, and to that point as well, it was something that we have observed from training camp even, which was the coaching staff stopping drills, stopping things, and fixing habits, correcting things, and being so deliberate about, no, this is exactly what I want you to do. This bad habit, we're not doing that anymore. And I think, and I asked Lane post-game after the Boston game that, you know, a month ago we were talking about the guys needing to find ways to win games in low-scoring situations. You know, 1-2 games, those kinds of things. And now they had gone 4 games straight, scoring 4 or more goals, and kind of what that difference is. And he basically equated it to, like, we're playing, to your point, we're playing the same hockey, but now we have more confidence in what we're doing. We have a stronger understanding in what we're doing, and that is letting us feed more offense, which is the same thing that we heard since training camp, since the very beginning. It was, we have to fix, or maybe not fix, but we have to establish rather what kind of defensive system we need to play, and really, really focus on getting every single person a 100% understanding of what that is. And once we have that locked in, that will feed offense. And that is also what, when you asked Philip Grubauer, what has been the difference in your game this year? Why do you feel that things have been so different? That is exactly what he says. It's the buy-in from the team and what the coaching staff is asking us to do. And it is the system that we are playing with, and the predictability of where the shots that are going to come our way are coming from, and all of that communication. And so it's just, to your point, like, it's so cool to watch that. And I think as maybe certainly not disappointing it's been to see Shane Wright kind of have the year that he's had, because it has not been disappointing by any means. But I think a lot of people would love to see him scoring more. But Lane has said that he's like, we need him to focus on growing as a 200-foot player. We want the defensive side of his game to continue to improve. And once that happens, to, like, speaking to that trend team-wide, that is kind of, I think, what's also going on, like, with Shane right now, too. And hopefully that, like, continues to fall. It was the same thing that we had to talk about with Maddie 2 years ago, too. It's like, you know, you say cheat the game, you know, you can cheat the game for offense a little bit at a different level, but you can't do that if you're going to play the center position in the National Hockey League. So
I think, like, just even to expand on, like, cheating the game, like, obviously, for one thing, it'd be like, oh, it's like the flybys, right? Instead of stopping, we're going to take the flyby and just hope that I chip this puck past the defenseman I'm going to get a breakaway on this opportunity. Well, no, we're going to stop. We're going to make sure that puck gets out. We're going to play through the body instead of doing, like I said, like a flyby going through, or defensively, you know, that's not like, hey, I had my guy. Like, they're playing as an entire unit together, as a group of 5 plus your goaltender, playing the structure the way it needs to be played, even on the offensive side, whether, you know, you're making the right decisions at the blue line, you're not just trying to, not to say cheat is obviously the weird,
but it's not actually cheating. Yeah.
But just, you know, looking for the offense first. And, you know, once you come to the understanding, like you said, as a team, you have that buy-in that if we play strong defensively, we're going to get those opportunities. How many times if you play strong in the neutral zone, you're going to force the other team to turn it over. And now you get that odd man, or you get that break going the other way, instead of trying to jump a route, you know, to say, oh, I think this is where it's going to go. I'm going to go out of my way, out of my position to try to steal this puck to go for a breakaway, which you can see, or it does happen from time to time. But overall, you're not seeing really any of that creep into the game of the Seattle Kraken. And it's, again, when we talk about how do you find success in the National Hockey League, it's finding a repeatable game, whether that's at home, whether that's on the road, whether that's night one or night two of a back-to-back. How do you play the same game over and over again to find that success?
I also think it's worth mentioning throughout all of this that the third jersey, the alternate jersey curse, has officially been broken, as was the back-to-back curse a while ago, of course. And I just wanted to say that, like, players are never going to really super outwardly acknowledge certain superstitions, but I just have to tell you, if you think those were curses that they were aware of or superstitions that they have, there are so many more that fans and folks don't even know about. They were well aware, and I think they also feel a huge sigh of relief about it. I asked Jared about it post-game after Boston, too, and he kind of just laughed. He's like, oh, just like a sigh of relief, you know. So I got one more thing that I want to talk about here. We've touched on the goaltending a little bit, but to have a goaltending tandem like the Kraken do right now in Joey Decord and Philip Grubauer, and presumably Matt Murray whenever he comes back, to have two players or two goalies that are playing as well as they have and as reliable as they have, how much of an advantage and a benefit is that to this team with the schedule in the month of January? We're through kind of those back-to-backs, which we saw, that's obvious.
That was
but
a tough stretch for the team to go through that, yeah.
But just having two goaltenders that the team is 100% confident about having behind them.
Well, I think even just from a playing perspective, when your goaltenders are playing as good as they have, it allows you to be a little bit more free. You're not necessarily worried about, you know, gosh, if I make one mistake, you know, I know that my goaltender is going to bail me out in this opportunity. And it's happened plenty of times where, you know, a bad pass here gets picked off and now the goalie gets put in a bad spot. But they've been making those big time saves to take away good opportunities. I think you play a little bit more carefree. And when you can do that, when you're not thinking or overthinking different plays, it allows you as a player to play your best game, whether it's forward or defense. Obviously, they're a huge reason why. You look at the save percentage numbers, mm-hmm. especially over the last 8 games, but even as a whole, a team save percentage, I believe 5-on-5, they're sitting at 2nd in the league when it comes to 5-on-5, around 3rd or 4th in the league when you're talking about just overall tandems. But when you have that, you give yourself an opportunity to win every single game. And I think the Kraken know that, especially based on how they were playing. If they just continue to play to their system, play to how they're supposed to, they're going to get the saves. And I think the big thing, too, is you're, as a goaltending tandem, they're making the saves they're supposed to make, which is a huge part, right? There's no letdown where, you know, a soft one goes in here or there. You know, as a team, that allows your momentum to keep building. But then it goes even further when you're talking about those big saves. And you look at all of the performances from Grubauer. You look at from Joey.
I was like, I can't. There's so many.
There's so many big saves and big moments where you needed your goaltender to come up clutch. They needed a big save, whether it's maybe the Kraken just got scored on and the other team has the momentum where this could easily turn into a snowball going downhill. Mm-hmm. They make that big save, and now all of a sudden the Kraken, all right, let's now we got to go back and do something for our goaltender, for whether it's Joey, whether it's Grubauer, let's go play for them, make sure that we get the opportunity, and now all of a sudden the Kraken score. And you talk about the swing of what could have been if they weren't on their game, and you're seeing it time and time again. Even in this stretch, there's been a couple games where first period just hasn't been what the Kraken
would
like. The
Calgary game.
Calgary. Maybe look at Vancouver as well, where you have to – the goaltenders have been there to buy time for the players and for the rest of the team to get going and to find their game. Because there is another team out there. You can't – there's never going to be – I know we say it all the time about the, hey, you need a 60-minute effort, but – at the end of the day, there's going to be periods of time throughout the game where the other team has the momentum. The other team is playing again. Like, it's not just like they're 5-on-0 going down the ice every single time, or that it's going to be in the offensive zone. So how do you manage that? How do you manage the ups and downs within a game? And when you have two goaltenders right now that are playing the way they are, it's very easy to stay level-headed in those moments. Not get too high, not get too low, especially when other teams are applying that pressure, because you have the confidence in them that they're going to make the saves they're supposed to make, and they're going to help you wait or, you know, in those moments, help you get back to your own game. So it's been fun to watch, especially when you look at Grubauer, the bounce back season that he's had. Obviously, Joey, you had a great year last year. He's still performing, you know, at that level now, but the difference with it having Grubauer playing the way he's been playing has been crazy. I mean, you look at 41 saves, I think it was in Calgary as well. I think one goal against over the last 4 games at the time of recording this. So one goal per game, I should say. Yeah. No, but I think just the confidence that the team has in their goaltender allows them to just play the way they're supposed to play.
And on top of that, too, I mean, we're well into January now, but you got 17 games in the month of January. They had 4 sets of back-to-backs. To not be relying, to not feel like they have to rely on one guy to go on a 10-game run. You know, like, that's not really a luxury that I think this team has felt like they've had 100% confidence in the past, especially at this time of year. Like, when everyone's getting sick, everyone's getting tired, the injury bug, the flu bug, everyone's just like, let's get to the Olympic break and, like, so we can all get healthy and, like, rest up. To have two guys playing like Phil and Joey are is just huge for this.
Allowing the both goaltenders to go into each game fresh, right?
Yeah.
You look at especially the back-to-back situations, and over the last few, obviously, it's been Grubauer on night one, Joey on night two, and talked about, you know, Joey's ability to play the puck and how that definitely helps in night two. So, you know, just having both goaltenders playing the way they are, again, gives the Kraken an opportunity to win every single game that they play.
Well, the Kraken have hit the road. A lot of games on this East Coast swing here. Please enjoy this conversation with our special guest.
Jared, where else would we begin than Berkeley Catton getting not only his first but his second NHL goals? What's it been like for you to just kind of watch him battle through this season and finally get the cash?
It's great. You know, I was him, right? So I know what he's going through. I know how mentally tough it is. So, you know, I've just tried to help him as much as I possibly can, and it was good to see him get that one tonight.
You had the primary assist on that first one as well. Your point streak continues, but what's kind of been your approach? What's been your kind of your focus when it comes to supporting him and Shane on that line?
Yeah. I think just communication's big with those two. You know, I feel like sometimes they go silent. They're pretty quiet kids, so you know, it's okay with, for us to yell out there and kind of get each other going. That's what makes a good line is communication. So you know, I'm just trying to help them that way.
You get the buzzer beater on the power play at the end of the second period, too. We had to slow things down and, like, match up the clock to see if it was going to count. What was your perspective of that moment?
As soon as I looked up, I saw the green light on, so I was like, oh, that's I didn't think it went in on time, but luckily it did.
Some folks have said that there is a curse with the third jerseys, the alternate jerseys and the back-to-backs. If that were ever the case, the spell has certainly been broken. But what's kind of stood out to you? What's it said about the character of your team over this last nine-game stretch here?
Yeah, obviously having four back-to-backs in a row, I don't think any other team has quite gone through that, but it just shows the leadership we have on this team with Ebs and Lars and you know, and Maddie as well. We just, you know, control what we can control, and that's our effort every night, and the rest will take care of itself.
What's made you proud of this team through this stretch too?
Oh geez, there's lots. Guys blocking shots, our goalies, you know, making big saves for us. You know, everybody kind of laying out in the line and doing what they need to do to win.
Vince, when you think back to the last time that you guys were in this building just before the California trip there and just the turnaround that you guys have had, what has this run that you've been on kind of say about the identity, the character of this group?
Yeah, I think just as a group, everyone's been contributing in so many ways, and I think we're finally starting to shape our game together as a whole and not just you know, relying on a late goal to win a game or power plays and things like that. I think all little things are coming together now, and it's really showing that when we play as a group and we can count on everyone to play their part, we're very effective and we're playing together some ways.
How special has it been to see Philip Grubauer also just put together the season he's had so far, especially because you guys are original Kraken and you go all the way back?
Yeah, I've played with him ever since the start here, and I've seen his struggles from the beginning of our time together here, and I think by no means was that on him. I think the team in front of him didn't give him much of a chance to succeed, and I think you know, a little bit of the defense and forwards being able to slow the game down for him and let him see a lot more pucks, and you know, I think just the confidence he's building now. You know, he's done a lot of work and gone through a lot of adversity. He battles through everything, and I think just the way he is as a teammate, it's so special to have him part of the group, and for him to succeed right now, he really deserves it. So we're also happy for him and really proud of him.
How has the fourth line injected some juice into the team too lately?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to describe them as our fourth line, that's the easiest way to do it when you look at our lineup, but by no means are they not the drivers of our team. I think every time they're out there, they're creating havoc for the other team, maybe not scoring every single shift, but definitely, you know, playing with high intensity and playing within structure really well. And you see over and over again the success they get and the chances they're getting. And it's great to see Mel get his first goal tonight. Super happy for him. And, you know, it's a great win for us as a whole to be able to come back and beat these guys in an important game for the standings. And I think just having that as an identity for our team, it's really important, having those guys be the drivers. And, you know, when they're doing their thing, it's a lot easier for everyone to feel confident and build their own game as well.
Speaking of Jacob Melanson's first goal in the National Hockey League, just kind of in general, what's impressed you about his game and how you've seen him develop over the years?
I think his wall plays and the way he battles with the puck, I think it's not easy to do what he does every single night. He plays very honest, very aggressive, and he's in your face all night. And then when he gets in the O-zone, I think he doesn't really panic with the puck. He likes to make plays, and he usually makes the right play 9 times out of 10. And I think when you're doing that and you're very predictable with the puck, his teammates are easy to play with him. So, yeah, it's been awesome to see. I know it can be a little bit nerve-wracking coming into a team that's maybe struggling a little bit and be put in that position. But he's done a fantastic job, and that whole line has been amazing for us.
You had tonight kind of the first insurance goal before the pile on there. How did you kind of see that moment play out? How did you guys create the time and space for that one?
Yeah, I think just the transition was pretty quick, and I was just hoping I could beat my guy up the ice. And yeah, it was a great pass by Kapo to be able to see me coming in late. It's not often that, you know, those are the plays we want to make when the game's that close. But just trusting each other and relying on each other's instinct. It was nice to get it. I wasn't sure if that one was going to count either. I saw a lot of stuff happening and the goalie over on his back. So I was a little nervous, but it's glad it counted.
Well, in case you haven't been able to look at the score sheet yet, Adam Larson did have the secondary assist, which is his second or his 250th point in the National
Hockey. That's great. Yeah, he was saying in the room, I guess we're counting by the 50s now, but super happy for him. It was a big win for us.
Freddie, you guys were obviously down by two early here, but able to claw back. What did it take as a group to be able to dig in and respond?
I think that's the big takeaway of that game is that comeback. It's the no panic, never. We've done that in the past, and you know, the win is great, you know, the 2 points is great, but there's more you can take from games like that, and that's the biggest thing is you're never out of a game. So it was fun. It was fun to see everybody stay focused and bounce back the way we did.
With exactly that in mind, every win is different, and you guys have showed through this positive stretch that you can win games in all kinds of different ways. Shootouts sometimes, special teams battles, tight defensive battles, piling on goals, just in all different ways. What is it about this group or the approach that you guys have that lets you do that?
I think guys are doing it for each other. That's the main thing. You know, it's a group of brothers out there, and it's a deep group as forwards, as D's, our goalies are always giving us a chance. So but the most important part, I think, is because guys want to do it for each other, and you can see it.
The goal from your line at the top of the second there was huge for the momentum, really got things rolling. What was your perspective on that moment?
Honestly, great pickup by Tolvi. That puck was kind of high for too long, in my opinion, and he just made a great poised play, great pickup, just a goal scorer goal, and that's kind of what I saw.
Thank you for tuning in to Signals from the Deep with Piper Shaw and JT Brown. Give us an assist by rating your show on your listening app. You can watch the full video episodes on the Seattle Kraken's YouTube. Go Kraken!